Banks and other financial institutions are using our money to prop up the fossil fuel industry. How do divestment campaigns work, and what does it take to start one?
Welcome to Climate Organizing Shorts, where we're having short but inspiring conversations with climate organizers to help give you ideas for how you can build momentum for change in your community.
Climate Organizing Shorts is a collaboration between Pullback Podcast and the Climate Justice Organizing Hub. I'm Kylie Hewson, and I'm here with Kristen Pugh.
On today's episode, we spoke with Jenna Jandel Arife, who led a campaign at the University of Windsor to get RBC off of their campus. Jenna shared some very helpful tips about divestment campaigning and really made them seem less intimidating. Let's get started. You've been working with a campaign to get RBC off of your campus. Is that right?
Yes. So I was lucky enough to be in Climate Strike Canada when the idea regarding more focused divestment work started. And then that's kind of what made Change Course. But I only got involved with Change Course when I got into university and I went to the University of Windsor. And I think right around when I started university was an RBC on campus branch. And it was very prominent. It made me so angry every time I saw it. And so I was like, we have to do something about this. And that's kind of how a lot of other people felt all around other campuses as well. And we kind of have this Canadian coalition to have RBC off our campuses. And of course, there's other banks on campuses, but mine was RBC and I hated them.
Can you talk a little bit more about why you decided to target RBC specifically for anyone who maybe isn't in the know?
I would love to tell you. So RBC is one of the top five banks in Canada, but it's also the number one climate financier for fossil fuels, for pipelines, for treading on Indigenous land. And I do not like when their presence, so things like RBC Future Launch or RBC on campuses, are just like elaborate ways for RBC to greenwash who they are and to just kind of grab clients who may not know. And it is a predatory practice, I think, especially when they target young people. It almost feels like they lie to us and they're like, we care about your future, but it's like, you are making sure that I don't have one. So RBC is on the top of any list for investment in fossil fuels.
Yeah, that's fair. So that's why RBC. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about fossil fuel divestment sort of more broadly for somebody that maybe hasn't heard about it. What is it and why does it matter?
Yes. So we all know that we live in this system where money talks, right? What that means, though, is that who I put my money with, they take that money and they get to like invest it in whatever they think. They have, obviously, I think, have something called green funds, but it's never really clean. It's never really green. So when I put my money in a bank, the bank is taking that money and putting it in whatever project they think is profitable for them. And for most banks, that's fossil fuels. Divestment in general kind of happens in multiple ways. As a company, do you divest? As a corporation, do you divest? Do you not invest your money or your holdings in fossil fuels? As post-secondary institution, your post-secondary institutions all have money and endowments and other funds. They also do the same where they just invest that money usually in fossil fuels, but that's not necessarily the default. But you'd always find campuses have connections with either like weapon manufacturers or fossil fuels companies or anything that's like bad for the environment. And then you could also do a kind of a personal divestment, which it's really difficult. It's really difficult to think about where your money is going. And you can find that a lot with boycotting and such. I find that personal divestment is an important step, but it's a difficult step and it's not the be all and end all. And that's why most of the time you see post-secondary students and climate activists pressuring either their schools or their unions or anything that has like a power and holdings. Like the Ontario Teachers, I think secondary student union, I think they own like half of like some farmland in South America. Like that's where their money goes most of the time. They also have a lot of money in fossil fuels. So there's a lot of different ways that divestment can exist. And of course, the end goal is to stop putting our money or fossil fuels. The biggest reason is because you're A, currently still funding the climate crisis, but B, if you never built up the renewable and green source kind of industry, it will never be an industry. So we will always be stuck in this loop where people say, there's no alternative to fossil fuels. And it's like, yeah, because you're putting your money in fossil fuels. Of course, the grass isn't growing because you're not watering it. It's kind of like a two-sided coin of not only stopping harm, but pushing for change.
It's really hard to do personal divestment, although it's something that we can all sort of try. And so these sort of more collective campaigns that target, you know, pension funds or universities or other places that have money and that serve people is kind of like an effective mechanism to push change.
Yes. So not just collectively, that's great. Like go out, strikes, protests, sit-ins. Bigger universities have usually sit-ins. Windsor is a smaller university, so we don't have as much. So for example, if you do bank with RBC, and it's so difficult for you to not bank with RBC, and that's completely like a fine thing that happens. You still have power because you're a consumer. They have your money. This is your money. And you still have a say. You won't have that much of a say, but you can write to your branch managers. You can write to the people within RBC and be like, hey, I'm your customer and I want you to change. So that's another effective way to do it. Usually that happens in like mass mail-ins. You don't have to wait for somebody to like hold that event for you. You can just do it.
I wonder if you could talk me through some of those different tactics. I think you mentioned a lot of them really quickly, but I'm really curious to hear more. Everything from like an individual just writing a letter to their bank to like sit-ins and things like that on a more collective scale. What are some of the top tactics of divestment campaigns?
Yes, you can see it clearly with people like McMaster, who have done wonderful job. I think they're one of the oldest kind of divestment groups. And it kind of shows they kind of have that collective power. So the most protests when you're trying to protest is you're disturbing the status quo. And there's levels to that. For example, most things in Windsor, what we do is we do flyers and we do tabling. We kind of have conversations with people, you know, signing petitions, sending emails, being as nice to the people in power as possible, because some of them like that ego boost. Your second option or your like other extreme levels is you either just do protests or chants, and that's just, you know, town hall meetings or so. And then if they still do not respond to the growing population of students who are voicing their opinions, you do sit-ins. And that's more prolonged period of time. That's more likely that campuses will call somebody on you. That happened quite frequently with people, and they're told to like leave the premises. And like between them, there's things like banner drops, which you will find a lot in divestment campaigns.
For somebody who is thinking about this and has been totally convinced by your argument that they need to get RBC or, you know, other fossil fuel funders to divest from fossil fuels in maybe on their campus, maybe at their like workplace, what do you think it takes to organize a campaign like that?
Firstly, it's really important, like there's no misconception about what a campaign is. Like, it could be something so simple. It could be so simple. It could be you just bothering this human being for weeks. it literally could just be that. And that's a campaign. Congratulations to you. You're a climate organizer now. Or it could be something, again, like long-term, like a week-long event, strikes and chants and education classes and whatever. So you could be whatever. I think most important thing you have to do is understand what's happening, what you're up against. When I first started organizing RBC off campus in Windsor, I didn't know how anything worked. I just knew that there was a booth there. And then I was like, oh, these are the people that manage the booth. Those are people that made a contract with the booth. And that's how their organization works. So like the person that maybe approved that contract with RBC is not necessarily the person that could end it or could not necessarily the person that has any idea about what's happening. So to kind of get to the correct people takes a while. And I find that most people are very cooperative with you until they know what you want. And then you can just talk to your friends about it, talk to people about it, and then you'll have more people joining it. And then you could do things like flyering and postering, you know, circulating petitions. I think we often think of demonstrations and like campaigns as very, it's like a picture of a woman just like screaming into a megaphone. Like that's the image. And that's like a great image. I love when I'm screaming into a megaphone. It's just not always the image, or it's not always the most feasible, especially depending on like how big you are as an organization, how big you are, how much money you're talking about. Like University of Windsor has a lot of money. Our student union has a lot of money. But we're a commuter school. We're not, most people like drive 20 minutes to go to campus. Like nobody's staying longer than they need to on campus. So you kind of have to figure out a different way to like adjust your campaign and the way you want to achieve your goal, depending on who's there with you and their capacity.
How do you organize for a commuter campus? Because I think a lot of Canadian universities are kind of set up that way. So that seems really important to know.
The best thing to do is to have things that are permanent. People are walking around, That's why we have a lot of flyers on our campus. My favorite thing to do is a sticker. We just put some stickers and it's just like says RBC off campus. We just sometimes leave stickers around and people put them on like school property, which I don't know if it's allowed, but they have not yet taken off. So it's not me who did it. But this kind of like permanency, I think, is important because it's also making that little campus culture, which also is also like if you are planning something that you have to be careful when it is in terms of like the school day. If it's later than 4, nobody's coming. If it's during like the classroom blocks, most people are not going to be coming. It really is meeting people where they're sitting at also. If they're sitting in the library, like you can't talk much to them. So you have kind of specific areas where you can just go and try to market to these people in the little time they'll give you because they want to study, they want to go to school, and they want to go home.
You ended up getting RBC off the campus. What ended up being the push point for them? How did that happen? And also, what's there now?
So my student union did not make a statement officially, but why they no longer made a contract with RBC or why they did not sign a full-term contract with RBC, because I think by the time they got kicked out, it was still a temporary contract. But I don't think RBC as an actual company cared that I was there. I was really targeting my student union. My student union are the people who allowed RBC on this campus. You as a student union say that you care about the environment. You as a student union say that my money is going to a good place. I see that you're taking money from this like basically climate criminal. So no, thank you. And a big reason why student unions like do not cut their, I guess, ties with RBC or other banks is because RBC not only like give them money, but also give scholarship money. So that's kind of where it gets kind of difficult to convince people that like you can get the scholarship money from any other place. There are campaigns that deal with RBC that are like more kind of at the general meetings. And then their main branches that happen really usually in Toronto and Ottawa, where there are big branches of RBC. So part of that is when they have a general meeting, which is like all people who are shareholders in RBC get to go to this meeting where RBC says, we made so much money. We destroyed the environment and we made so much money. And then we treaded on Indigenous people land and we made so much money. Isn't that great? We try to send delegates and we kind of infiltrate that room to make some sort of stand. Usually when somebody talks, you stand up and you're like, usually carry a banner or sometimes in COP, you hear them chanting and walking out of a room or getting dragged out of a room more accurately. So that's one way to get that divestment is to pressure RBC themselves. And I think even if it doesn't necessarily materialize to anything in the near future, I think it's worthwhile because you're doing something and you're just bothering them. And by bothering them, you're just being annoying. And I love when people are annoying. And but also you're getting people who may not know to look further into that, either take money out of their own accounts in RBC or join their campus groups or their like local groups anyway. And then you could always, like I'm doing and other people are doing, which is targeting our student unions who are allowing RBC to go on our campus. Another part of that is who does your student union bank with? Our student union banks with one of the top five, like they bank with Scotiabank, which also invests a lot in fossil fuels, but also invests a lot in weaponry. So all banks are bad. Go to a credit union. But
what? Yeah, what do you do then? Do you just go to like a credit union or?
Yeah, so for a while we'll change course. We're like telling people or asking people to move their money out of banks, but that's so incredibly difficult. Usually credit unions are really cool. The big difference is that they're a little bit inconvenient. There's not as many branches of them around. Maybe they don't have good apps, online banking, but they're getting better. The big difference between a credit union and a bank is that a credit union, you are a member, basically a shareholder. You get to make the decisions. With a bank, you do not get to make those decisions. You are one of whatever. You have like $5 in your bank account because you're a student. Shut up. You know, there is less of that in a credit union. The goal is that everybody has an equal say. One shareholder, like one account, one vote.
Yeah. And then I guess also like carrying out these campaigns, you maybe make the big banks care a little bit more about divesting from things they should divest from.
It's very clear that RBC and other banks do care about how they look. And that's why they put so much money in things like RBC Future Launch, RBC On Campus, and like any green washing attempt they could, because they understand that the public image matters, which is where the danger lies. Because it's very hard for people to look at something that says green and doubt that and to be like, how green actually is it? Because that means like you already say you already did like 3 hours of research trying to figure out which bank you should bank with. And then you're like, okay, I guess RBC is the most convenient. It's the best for me, for what I need right now. Okay, and they look like they're already like doing things for the environment. So why bother? And then you tell them, actually, that's a lie. Actually, they really are not true. This is not true. So do they care? The goal is, of course, the banks stop funding fossil fuels. But until then, the more we pressure them, the more they try to lie. And then eventually they could not lie anymore. And that's when we would win.
So I'm wondering, like, just maybe for a final question to wrap up, if you had sort of one piece of advice that you would give to somebody who really wants to get RBC off their campus or wherever they care about, what would that sort of piece of advice be?
Firstly, go to changecourse.ca. See if there is somebody already campaigning in your area. And if you are in Windsor or Windsor, Essex, please call me. Please contact me. And if there's nothing, again, like it could start very simple. It could start very much like what you're comfortable with, which is like, I'm just going to call up people. I'm just going to schedule a meeting and rant to this like VP of student advocacy for like an hour. Or it could be something like bigger, like you start a group. Everybody can do any of that, frankly. Nobody knights you to be a climate organizer. So take the step. It's not going to be like really easy, I won't say, but it's going to be fun. And at the very least, you get really weird rivalries with people and like, just get new ops, guys. Just get new ops for the sake of our future. Pick a fight with somebody. Even if you're like one person in a small town in Ontario, like any effort matters and it counts, and there are resources to help you. And we hope, like Climate Justice Hub, great help. You can do it, and I believe you, and I believe in all of you. Divestments right now are like the big driving force, and you could divest everywhere, anywhere, all at once, if you will.
I like the way that you've really painted the picture of like, campaign sounds like such a daunting word. You know, like whenever I picture, you know, a campaign, I'm picturing like a Greenpeace, like anti-plastics campaign, like something huge. And I love what, like, especially at the beginning when you were like, oh, just show up and yell at somebody. That's a campaign. And I'm like, great. I love that. The pressure is really low now.
Yeah. Like if you do something earnestly, who's going to tell you you didn't do a good job? Like nobody is going to say you didn't yell hard enough. Like as people who are already like kind of active in the climate movement, we want you to come join us. And people who are not in this climate movement do not care if you're like how big your campaign is, because like you told them one fun fact and that's going to stick in their brain. Like people walk around campus and be like, you're the RBC person. I was like, that's not how I'd like to be referred to, but yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us today. We really appreciated it.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
If Jana's work piqued your interest, you can visit changecourse.ca to learn more about how to set up a divestment campaign on your campus.
And if you want to learn more about the Climate Justice Organizing Hub and the work that they do, check out their wiki, which provides information and resources for activists in the climate justice movement.
The wiki is an excellent tool for information on all sorts of topics related to climate justice, topics like accessibility, burnout and care, movement structure, recruitment and retention, student organizing, and more. You can find a link to the wiki in the show notes or visit lahub.ca.